everybody, welcome into the Jetstreams podcast. Jonas Schwartz alongside Willie Colon. Hey. We are happy to be talking about three wins in a row for the Jets off their big 17-14 win over the Browns. I did not curse them for much of the game. We thought I might have cursed them.
It was a rocky one, though. It was choppy all the way through.
I should never pick them again. Before we get into it further, though, of course, you can listen to the Jetstream podcast every week by subscribing to SNY.TV Jets podcast channel. Just search for SNY.TV Jets in the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please make sure to rate and review the show, which we always appreciate. So 17-14, your prediction was 24-14. I had 21-7. Mm. You rightly got at me immediately when I picked the Jets and said, don't do that.
Right.
And it brought it up to me several times as we were watching the game.
That is correct. Yeah, I feel like you jinxed us.
It was possible.
It was close.
Anybody but the Browns, I think I jinxed them.
If it wasn't for Claiborne's interception and McCown pulling it out at the end, that game could have went easily the other way.
So tell me how you take this, because the Jets did not play well. It was not certainly their worst game of the winning streak.
Correct.
The amount of yards they gained, the 34 yards rushing when they'd come off the 250-plus the week before. Yep. Not much went right except for the result. What do you take out of that? Is that a good sign that they got the win, even though it was the Browns and they didn't play well? Or is it troubling that they just didn't play well?
Well, I think we have to talk about what Todd Bowles just talked about. And he was able to state this early in the year. This team is starting to figure out how to win. And one way of figuring out how to win is going on the road and kind of going through that process of playing bad and overcoming that. They were able to do that. So credit this team for at least coming out with the W. Was it good? No. You talk about the penalties. I think they had 9 for 80 in penalties. You can't have that, especially on the road. Thank God, and we hit this on the pregame show and then postgame, rather, how – you know, the Browns were so bad, it kind of helped the Jets, because if that was a better team, like if that was a Titans or, you know, or Chicago, or, you know, a team that probably another, you know, just kind of in the same hemisphere, but just a little bit better, you know, the Jets would have lost that game.
No doubt. I mean,
if it wasn't for Kaiser's two interceptions.
And the bad pitch. And Hugh Jackson going for it on fourth down.
He's pitching the ball with his right hand.
Yeah.
So it was just a lot of botched plays Sunday that kind of benefited the Jets. What you do get from it is that, you know, the Jets now, you know, they first had to have their first road win, which is extremely hard to do in the NFL. They went on the road and was able to kind of come up and figure out that, hey, we can't go here no more. You know, we understand who the Browns are. You know, they helped us out a lot. But if we used to go on the road again and play like that, it's going to be over way early. So you figured, you know, they learned their lesson against Buffalo and Oakland, because those are two better teams that kicked their butt.
Right.
So it's tough to look at it. Obviously, you're worried about Bilal Powell. You know, you want him to be healthy, because especially going against New England this week.
And you were telling me calves are tricky.
Calves are tricky, just like hamstrings. You can warm them up. They can feel great. You can practice on them. And, you know, you'll feel like, all right, I can do this. And then it takes one explosive play and boom, you know, sets you back. So, you know, you just hope Bilal's fine and it's not that serious. But you, at this point, you know, we talked about depth, you know, of this running back position. This is where you need Matt Forte more than ever. And he's coming off a turf toe. So there's a lot of questions going into this week.
It's a lot to ask of Elijah McGuire, even though he's done very, very well early. When you look at what happened, I agree with you. The gutsiness of this team.
Yeah.
There is some moxie here that we didn't see much of last year, and it's a credit to Todd Bowles and everything that he's instilled this year with this group of guys. But, you know, aside from that, when you break it all down, what was the most troubling thing you saw, just in the sense of, was it offensive line, was it defensive line? We know, as you said, the best thing, and this is the most important thing, they won and they showed guts. But if you had to break down what you were maybe a little disappointed in.
I think it was the offensive line play. And I know Todd Bowles talked about it at the end of the game. You know, well, they just scheme this up. And that's fine. Teams do scheme you up. And you can't practice everything. And some things you're just not going to be prepared for. But I just felt like this line was strong enough. You know, I didn't like that Myles Garrett first NFL snap was on James Carpenter.
Yeah.
I did not like that. I didn't like
the went fact right
that,
around him.
Yeah, I did the fact that, you know, coming out in the second half, that when they started to try to run the ball, it just wasn't there. I didn't like to see that. I know this line is better than that. So that's what I was troubled about. But I was happy, and I talked about this for you guys who listened to the Jets postgame. You know, that tight end Thomason, you know, for him to come off with an elbow and block Myles Garrett one-on-one a couple of times, you got to speak volumes for that young man, because he's been battling through injuries. He's trying to find himself in his offense. He had one huge catch that saved the Jets, and he was going against Myles Garrett. So, and he's a little bit of a journeyman from UTEP, and he played hard. So I'm happy for
and
him.
And Austin Seferian Jenkins continues to show everything that he's about. And you know what? Even Jermaine Kearse, right? Not involved much of the game, but gets the big touchdown. And I think that's the great thing with Josh McCown, right? We've seen this guy show the toughness that even if things are not going his way most of the game, when he gets his opportunities late in the game, he's been taking advantage
of them. Yes, and I guess you can credit that to him being a bit of a journeyman. He's played on teams who've kind of had to rally and come behind or just been through it. Like, he knows what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. And and I think it benefits the young guys, right? Because when you see a quarterback who gets knocked down or the pass, you know, the throws aren't going his way, he continues to fight and scrap and scrap. That sends messages to the rest of the team that don't give up. You know, if things don't be front runners. Don't be the type of team when things go our way, we're balling, everybody's happy. When things don't go our way, we kind of have our head down and we're just kind of waiting for the game to end. He doesn't show that. He finishes games and he plays through it, and that's how this team has to be going forward.
Yeah, willing to shake off whatever's gone on before, which is very impressive. Also, I would think the safety is still very impressive. May the interception. Jamal Adams had a really tough matchup with David Njoku. Got some catches.
Yeah, he had that one big one-handed catch.
But those guys continue to ball.
Listen, I mean, let's be honest. This is the life of the NFL. I mean, Jamal Adams has robbed Gronkowski. He has Gronk this week. So it doesn't get easier. And that's when people talk about being a professional, you know, when you go into a week and maybe you have a tough game Sunday, it doesn't get easier the next Sunday. You know, you have to step your game up because the game is always going to throw, top-tier level competition at you, and you got to perform. And this is what life of a rookie is. You understand, like, hey, I just had a monster in this other rookie coming from Cleveland. Well, I got one of the best tight ends in all of football coming at me. So how do I prepare? How do I forget about last Sunday and prepare like it never happened? And that's the whole, you know, it's the true value of being a professional. How do I keep staying in the ring and fighting and not getting down on myself?
Yeah, and it's interesting. And by the way, we're going to talk to Manish Mehta, of course, Jets columnist and beat writer for the Daily News, in just a few minutes in our segment On the Beat, where we talk to someone who knows the inner workings of everything that's going on with the team right now and covers them on a daily basis. But, I mean, the whole thing was very impressive. And I just want to know, because I'm going to ask Manish this in a second, are you surprised they won 3 in a row? We know this. Everybody else sure is. I would throw myself in that group, too. At the beginning of the year, I would not have seen a 3-game winning streak. Are you surprised they've won 3?
Well, I'm going to say this. I went to back-to-back Yankee games, and there's a lot more new Jet fans all of a sudden out of nowhere. I didn't realize. I've been to a number of Yankee games, and I was walking through the crowd.
The faithful coming up to you.
And the faithful green has starting to sprout, and it's good to see. When you talk about in relation to the Giants, they call us a Giant town. Well, maybe they call them bandwagon people. Sure, that's fine. But to see Jets fans show up and support, they all know about the team. They know about McCown. They were asking me about Bowles. So Jet Nation is coming alive. So that's good for the fan base.
Do you think the players are surprised, or do you think they always believed?
I think they always believed. I think credit Todd Bowles because of that. I think he understands, hey, nobody watches us practice. Nobody knows what we go through. So stop listening to people who really aren't in our house watching us every day go through the grind. So credit him for that. But this team, you know, they're young, and I've hit on this before, and I don't want to be redundant in saying it, but they got rid of the frauds. They got to get rid of guys who maybe have resumes, who were maybe reluctant to do things. Now, this is a young team who's been humbled because of last year, who just wants to win and be respected, and that's what they're fighting for.
And we continue to see, and they continue to talk about it, and we talk about it often, how much they buy into, you know, the fact that they played a good half of football against Oakland outside for the muff punt.
Yes.
They really bought. We all looked at it as they got blown out in the second half, and, boy, this team's looking like they're in rough shape. They really bought into that first half, and it gave them confidence they could play with anybody. And that's really manifested itself out the last 3 weeks in terms of we can't just play with somebody. We can beat them.
Well, I think how they see it is, hey, you know, we had a good first half. You know, besides that muff punt, coming out in the second half, you know, we were kind of still in it, but we just didn't tackle well. We didn't stay in that gap. So imagine if we did tackle well, or imagine we did play assignment-proof football. Imagine we stayed on our P's and Q's and did what we were supposed to do. Maybe that outcome could have came out different. So that's how they see it. So I think it's interesting that, you know, to your point, they came out the second half or came out of that game saying, hey, you know, we're not as bad as people say we are. Let's keep fighting. And I think coming home after that was huge for them because they kind of recoup. The crowd's on their side. The confidence is there, and they was able to pull it out.
All right. It is time now for On the Beat, where we talk to a guy who, again, covers the team on a daily basis. Manish Mehta is, of course, the Jets columnist and beat writer for the Daily News, breaks many, many stories. Nice enough to join us on the phone. Manish, thanks so much. And, you know, we were just talking about if, you know, we know fans are surprised they've won 3 in a row. If you gave truth serum to Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, you think they'd be surprised as to where this team is right now?
Well, look, this is the relatively soft part of the schedule. And they're obviously an uber confident group, even privately. So are they a little bit surprised, perhaps? I thought it wasn't out of the realm of possibility that they'd be 2-3 at this point. But, I think it was Leonard Williams who said yesterday that they're riding the unity wave. And I think that perfectly encapsulates what this team is at this juncture of the season. They have tremendous chemistry, and say what you want about the roster and the talent on it. Ultimately, they're buying into each other, and that's really the X factor. When you talk about teams, Josh McCown said it perfectly after the game the other night, which is when you make your predictions before the season, you look at the players and their abilities on paper. What you can't factor in is the intangible aspect of any team, and the chemistry and the intangibles for this team, at least through the first 5 weeks, is pretty high.
Manish, one of the guys in the secondary that doesn't get a lot of credit, obviously because Jamal Adams and Marcus May are playing extremely well, but is Maurice Claiborne. I think he's playing extremely well coming from Dallas. Haven't been a guy in Dallas who's kind of injury plagued. Now he's on this Jets team, and he seems to make splash plays and show up, and he takes on every team's number one receiver and does a fairly good job in my eyes. Talk about a little bit about him and how his impact has happened for the Jets thus far.
Well, he's been solid, Willie, and obviously he's a pedigree player. He was the number 6 pick in the draft coming out of LSU, so you know he has the talent. Of course, the bugaboo for him his entire career has been his ability to stay healthy for 4 months.
Right.
And so far, so good for him. He's played solidly. He hasn't been perfect. There's some shaky moments the other day in Cleveland, but if he can stay healthy, he's clearly a starting caliber cornerback who can make a difference for you. The big question mark is, can he stay healthy? And again, so far so good. Tremendous locker room guy. He's been through a lot of tribulations in his career and down in Dallas, as you can imagine, with all of the high expectations coming out of college. But I thought that was a terrific signing. And as you said, Willie, it doesn't really get talked about too much. When you talk about the secondary, all of the focus is on those rookie safeties. But a one-year deal for Claiborne, a prove-it deal. To this point, he's proving that Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles made the right decision.
You know, Manish, how about the deal for Josh McCown?
Yeah.
People wanted Mike Glennon here. People wanted Jay Cutler here. We see how that's all worked out. And you talk about leadership in that locker room. Josh McCown has given the Jets everything I think they could have asked for at this point and has shown he deserves a role here in some fashion next year.
Yeah.
No matter what whether it be as a support guy, a grooming guy, in some way, I would have to imagine this McCown signing has worked out as well as they could have ever hoped at this point.
Yeah, he's been terrific. And look, they paid him a relatively high sum of money. I think it was $6 million plus with an opportunity to make a little bit more for a 38-year-old quarterback who's had a history of being injured. Just a terrific leader. I know that term gets thrown around a lot with veteran players, older players, but what he does for that team behind the scenes, not only for Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg in that quarterback room, but what he does for that offense and really for that team is something that you really can't put a price tag on. I've spoken to coaches and teammates of him, of his over the last 15 years, all different spots. I cannot find one person who doesn't speak glowingly of Josh McCown. He is as selfless as they come. Again, with him, the big question mark is, how long can he stay healthy? Because that's been an issue in his career, specifically here in the twilight of his career. But he brings an energy. There's an enthusiasm. He plays much more like a 22- or 23-year-old player as opposed to a 38-year-old player. He's just a terrific presence, the perfect guy, really, for this team. I know that the plan coming in, at least, was for him to mentor Hackenberg and Petty and hopefully get Hackenberg ready to be the starting quarterback sooner rather than later. But at this point, 3-2 with an opportunity to take sole possession of first place in the division by beating the Patriots, I don't think anybody's really thinking about that right now. They're just thinking about how he is playing. And he is a perfect fit for this West Coast offense that John Morton has run. It's a very similar offense to what McCown ran in Chicago when he had Jeremy Bates as his quarterback coach there as well. It's a scheme that really fits, for whatever reason, his skill set and his understanding of football. So, you can't complain over a guy who's completing over 70% of his passes, that's for sure. Mm.
We always talk about Todd Bowles, but I'm going to go one step up. Another guy who's in charge of signing people. How would you grade Mike McCagnan's work this far with this roster?
Well, it's a work in progress, Willie. I mean, when you're judging the general manager, it's very difficult to make snap judgments because ultimately the moves that he's making are moves that he believes are in the best interest of the organization in 2017, 18, 19, perhaps even beyond. So what you can say is in terms of his roster gutting in the offseason, that has certainly looked pretty good. There hasn't been anybody that the Jets have let go, any veteran that they've let go that has come back to bite them. A couple guys aren't even playing right now, as you guys know, and spoke to Nick Mangold last week. He's not fully healthy, so he's not in the league right now. Darrell Revis is not in the league right now. Brandon Marshall, unfortunately, is out for the season, but he wasn't making an impact, let's be honest, with the Giants before he got hurt. And Eric Decker has really not made any tangible impact down in Tennessee. So these these veteran moves, and even David Harris. Now, David Harris, I think, is more of a byproduct of what Bill Belichick wants to do in New England. He hasn't really been on the field that much for the Patriots. So I think that he's made some good moves. Now, there have been missteps. I'm not going to give him the Executive of the Year award again from what I've seen. There have been some missteps along the way. But at least in the short term, I think you see a lot of these younger players that he has brought in and drafted specifically making strides. And that's really what this season initially was all about. Not the playoffs, not winning the division, none of that stuff. It was about cultivating the young talent that they have brought into the building over the last couple of years. And whether it's Marcus May, Jamal Adams, Jordan Jenkins, Brandon Schell, some of these younger players have really made some progress in these first 5 weeks, for sure.
Now, Manish, I've been in locker with you, and this is directed towards you. Sometimes you get criticized. Do you feel like you're misunderstood as a hot beat writer for New York Jets?
That's our Oprah question of the day right there, yes.
Yeah, I'm not misunderstood, but it's funny that you asked me that today, Willie, because Santonio Holmes is retiring as a Steeler.
Is that right?
They held a press conference, or they're holding a press conference this afternoon for him. And I like to say that Santonio and I had a love-hate relationship, in that he loved to hate me because I was extremely critical of him at certain points. I never thought – it doesn't get personal. And this is why I want to say, Willie. I mean, you know that you were one of the most professional guys in that locker room during your time with the Jets. I don't think you let on whether you liked somebody, disliked somebody, felt neutral about somebody. And that's really the mark of a true professional. And as a reporter covering this team, that's all I can ask for. I'm not necessarily asking you to be best buddies with you. I'm not saying, hey, let's go grab a beer. Now, I've done that in the past with people in the organization, including players, but that's not the goal. The goal is, let's have a healthy, productive, professional relationship. And if there's something, as a player, coach, front office, whoever, if there's somebody in that organization that disagrees with something that you've written, my stance has always been, and it will always be, just come up to me and tell me. Tell me why you disagreed with a certain point. If you thought I was unfair about something that I had wrote that, or something that I spoke about on TV or the radio, I'm all ears. I'd like to hear why you disagree with the point. Because at the end of the day.
My backup question is, so who was the rat in the locker room?
You're not
so
giving that
who's
up.
Who's your rat? Who's the rat?
This is what I'll say about that one.
Okay.
I don't discuss sources, but this is what I'll say. There are a lot of people in that organization. There's 50-plus guys in that locker room who have different reasons to feel differently about different topics. And what I will always say as a reporter now and moving forward is that trust is extremely important. I will never give up any player or anybody in the organization. You trust me implicitly, and I will make sure that that trust is returned.
Look at that. See, you say I would say source. You say rat.
Being a guy in the locker room, when Rex was in the locker room, he was always talking about we have a rat in the locker room. And Manish knows what I'm talking about. So, and it was always circled around. Manish knows who the rat is. So now that I'm on his side of the fence,
right,
I thought we could share who the source quote rat is.
There you go.
This is what I'll say, Willie. Rex Ryan is a master motivator. He will use anything, even if it's the media, to rally up his team, and he did a pretty good job of it for a long time.
Hey, Manish, we thank you for some time and your great insight. We always appreciate what you write for the Daily News. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Manish Mehta from the Daily News, of course. Let's talk about Patriots Week. As we move on from talk of rats and what else. Well, maybe Bill Belichick, maybe it's a good segue to Bill Belichick. He's not a rat. He's a mastermind. let's just be clear on that. He obviously is one of the greatest coaches in the history of this league, if not the greatest coach. We know there's history with him and the Jets. There always feels like it's a rivalry. Jet fans feel it. Do players in that locker room feel something more this week when they face the Patriots?
Yeah, you try to downplay it. You try to say, hey, it's just the next team on the schedule. The Patriots are different, obviously, because of Tom Brady, the championships, what they mean for the NFL, who they are, what they represent. Every team gears up for the Patriots. It just is what it is. I mean, if you don't think, you know, Carolina and Houston played some of their best ball of their year against the Patriots, you're kidding yourself, you know. However, it's different for the Jets because, you know, Belichick tossed the Jets to the side. He gave up on us. You know, he turned his back and he said, hey, I don't want to be a part of this organization. I'm going to New England. And, you know, it's different for me because, you know, having come from Pittsburgh, you're birthed into a rivalry. So my disdain or hatred was for the Ravens. And then when I came to New York, I looked around and I saw Brady, and having been in Pittsburgh, gone against Brady, it was nothing for me to hit the Patriots coming to New York. That's how I felt. Mm-hmm. But going forward, you respect what they've been able to do. You respect who Tom Brady is, but you don't have to like him. And I know a lot of Jets fans don't like him. And I know a lot of Jets players don't like the Pats because they kind of somehow squeeze out of a win, You know, there's always some, you know, stigmatism about how they win and how they go about their business. But, you know, it's a rivalry that I know players, you kind of get an extra pep in your step because it is New England.
Okay, so more so because, listen, the Jets have great historical rivalries also with Buffalo and Miami. This is something different. This is bigger than that.
It's different because they're the Super Bowl champs. And anytime you get a chance to get in the ring with the champs, and, you know, you want to throw your best shot because you ultimately that's your goal, to be where they were or kind of, you know, dethrone them. But Brady, you know, in that offense, you're talking about, you know, they're number one in offense right now in the league. I think they're 31st and dead last in defense. You know, if you're the New York Jets going into this game, you got to be licking your chops, especially from the offensive side of the ball, because, you know, this was if you're a Jet, you're thinking about, hey, they didn't give a shot to be anything about, as far as being relevant on this team. Here we go against a chance to knock down the Patriots and go against a defense who we know we can score on, who we can put up points against. Now the challenge is for this Jets defense to step up against Tom Brady and really get after him, blitz him, knock him down, really put these guys in a phone booth and have it out with them. So hopefully they can do it coming in Sunday.
The Jets always seem, you tell me if I'm wrong on this, always seem super focused especially when the Patriots play them in Jersey.
Right.
Right? The Jets always give them a hard time. And, yes, the Patriots might squeak it out, but it feels like the Jets, especially in the home games, seem to give their best against the Patriots. Is that fair or unfair?
No, it's fair.
Trust me, before everybody gets at me, I know there's examples that hasn't been proven to true, but in general.
Right. Yeah, I think, listen, I know for when I was with the Jets, the defensive guys, you know, anytime the offense had a chance to get up, it was a chance for the defense to pin their ears back and get after Brady. And that's all these defensive line guys. They want to hit Brady. That's like a trophy.
They all say he's whiny on the field.
He's whiny. He complains about everything. He doesn't like being touched. He doesn't like, you know, his receivers getting held a certain way. So anytime they get a chance to get him or get a shot on him, trust me, it's a notch on the belt. So guys are extra passionate, geared up. And their offensive line, who I think the Patriots have a fairly decent offensive line, but it's really Brady. He's a safety net. So if you chop him up, you have a shot to win the game.
Okay, so let's talk about their defense, right? Now, Bill Belichick is a legendary defensive mastermind going back to his time as defensive coordinator to the Giants in the 80s, okay? He's brilliant. And as the defensive coordinator of the Jets, quite frankly, in the late 90s when Parcells was here. But their defense, now I understand what happened with Tampa, and a lot of that to do with Nick Folk missing kicks.
Right.
But their defense has really struggled this year. You think he can fix that, or do you see just personnel issues there that they can't fix?
Well, I gotta say this. They played better, especially that Thursday night against Tampa. They played, you know, better. However, even when they were good, you could run on the New England Patriots. They have a model. We're going to bend, but we're not going to break. And they play well, and that's who they are. That's their identity. As long as Tom's putting up 20 to 30 points a game, you know, it's hard for most offenses in this league to keep up with that type of volume. So, going forward, if you're the Jets going against this New England defense, you're saying, hey, we, one, got to keep Brady on the bench. Two, we got to run the ball at him, and we got to put 4.5 a pop. We got to keep the first downs coming, and we got to stretch out these drives so that we don't have Tom out there kind of dissecting. I wouldn't be surprised at times, you know, if things get a little rocky, you see this Jets team like they did on Sunday, go no huddle, kind of do the hurry up. So I think they're willing to, they understand to keep up with the Patriots, they have to keep Tom on the bench, and they're going to have to put up points. Three is not going to beat the Patriots. You got to put up sevens.
All right, so you obviously want to control the ball. Bilal Powell and his injury, no one knows whether he's playing yet or not. I mean, How big of an injury is that for this particular game? Because as we mentioned, the running back depth's not there with Forte in the turf toe. You're asking a lot of Elijah McGuire in this particular game to carry the load all by himself, whether you have Travaris Cadet.
Yeah.
I mean, how big is Bilal Powell being healthy and good to go for this game?
It's huge because obviously, you know, he's a home run back. He can take it yard. You know, he can really get the momentum going for this team, especially the offensive line. Who knows, they should have played better in Cleveland, especially against an outfit like that. What you have, and I've said this repeatedly, the Jets have a sneaky kind of good off receiving core. I mean, you talk about Curse Curley, Darius Stewart. You talk about the young kid Chad Hansen. You talk about Safarian Jenkins. So they got some guys that, you know, Jermaine Curse, obviously. So they got some guys that can really, you know, kind of really get this team over the hump and really score. It's up to McCown to really be efficient with the ball. He has to get third downs. He has to keep the chains moving. This team cannot beat themselves in a penalty game. Todd Bowles alluded to that. So I think it's important from the running back standpoint for this Jets team. They're going to have to start early. I'd like to see them run the ball more early, kind of get these guys going. And I think they can do it. I really do.
Is there an intimidation factor when you're facing Belichick and Brady? They've won so much. They've pulled out so many games late. Are they somewhat in your head as you go into the game?
Your only fear going against them is that you can, one, keep up. Two, this Brady doesn't get hot.
Yeah.
You know, if he you see it in his eye and the way he plays, if he starts getting in a rhythm where the ball's out fast and his receiver's just kind of getting yards out the carry, and you just see it, and then you see Gronk get it, the big ball down the seam, and the red zone, they're extremely efficient. When you start seeing that juggernaut kind of stand up, you're saying, oh, man, that's what you fear. Because it puts a lot of pressure on your secondary. Because at this point, if your D-line can't get to him, your secondary is just left out there.
Right.
And that's what you don't want. So you hopefully the Jets front can really – hopefully Coney Ealy's back this way. He's healthy. He's ready to go.
And, by the way, something to prove after he was cut by New England in the offseason.
That's another big one. You talk about David Bass. You're going to need him to play well.
Right.
This linebacking core, DeMario and Darren Lee, they're going to really have to have another solid game. So it's going to have to be all hands on deck for this defense. Because if they can get after Brady, they're going to have a solid shot.
You think they – I mean – we know they won the three games in a row. We know they don't have a chance to really hang with the Patriots if they played as they did last week. But the previous 2 weeks, the Jets had really good stretches of football. You really think this team can hang in there and win this game?
I do, because they're at home.
Yeah.
And that helps. And you can tell this team plays different at home. Most teams do. But being home, you know, we're going to see a lot more butts in the seats this Sunday because they're on a three-game win streak.
And it's the Patriots. It's a big
Patriots,
glamour
so
game.
So it's going to be a lot. So this team is going to – I can see this. You know, we've been watching college football, and I watched the Michigan State game, and I've watched games – the Iowa State Oklahoma game. Iowa State beat Oklahoma. You watch these teams who are somewhat don't consider it a chance, and they get a chance to go against a juggernaut. They go for it. They go for glory, man. So that's I expect the Jets to come out with that intensity and that fight to say, hey, we home. We have a shot at them. Let's just go at them.
I also think these two safeties and the fact that they're interchangeable, they can really scheme up some different looks to
try
to change things for Tom Brady. Listen, Tom Brady's seen it all, but he's never seen two safeties of this skill for this Jets team.
This young either.
Right. So I'm curious to see, you know, how that all plays out. So let's get to predictions.
Okay.
What are you going with? I know, this one's tough.
This one's tough because you can't say the Patriots can't put up points. I'm going to go 28-24.
Who?
Jets.
Whoa, look at you.
Just throw it out there.
All right. I'm going 31-28 Patriots, and especially after I picked the Jets over the Browns last week and they scared me that whole game.
Okay.
I'm not taking the Jets for a long time. And you know what? I think the Jets will play the Patriots hard. There is a history, though, here where the Patriots, as we always talk about, find a way to win these games late.
Yes.
I think the Jets are very young in certain places. I think everything's been great. But, listen, it's the Patriots. I think there's just a little bit too much there. So I think the Jets give them a real run and put a scare into them.
Shock the world.
Right. But I think the Patriots will pull out a 31-28 in the end. Listen, if Bilal Powell was healthy, I would feel better.
Yeah.
I would feel better about it.
I think we all would feel better.
You know, but,
hopefully he's out there.
Right. Hopefully he's out there and he can give it a real go. And we'll see. And as we talked about, the Jets always give the Patriots, it seems like, for the most part, a good run in Jersey. So hopefully it'll play itself out that way. All right, it is time for Y'all So Thirsty. We're again, as we honor Sheldon Richardson's great quarterback of the offseason. We haven't forgotten about you, Sheldon, where the media was thirsting for a good quarterback, Brandon Marshall. We are wondering what we're thirsting for this week from the Jets. What are you so thirsty to see from the Jets against the Patriots?
I'm thirsty to see Austin Safarian Jenkins have another solid game. And I say that because Right now, the juggernaut at the tight end position for the AFC East is Gronk. So can, you know, can Seferian Jenkins come in here and say, hey, you know what, I'm the new stud in town. Can I? Can he out show up for this Jets team and really get it done? So I'm excited to see him.
You know, I'm thirsting on what, you know, you've touched upon. How Todd Bowles and Casey Rogers scheme up this defense. As we just, you know, as we mentioned, the fact that these safeties are interchangeable, if Coney Ealy's back, there are some things you can do, I think, in terms of blitzes here that are exotic. I understand Brady can beat some of that.
Yep.
I think they can do give him different looks. I'm thirsting to see the different looks from the defense that can get aggressive against Tom Brady. We'll see if it plays out that way on Sunday. So that'll do it for this edition of the Jetstream podcast. Real quick before we say goodbye again, listen to the Jetstream every week by subscribing to the SNY.TV Jets podcast channel. Just search for SNY.TV Jets in the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. Please make sure to rate and review the show, and maybe one day we'll have Ray Lucas on.
Oh, boy.
You think that'll happen?
We need for him to come in here like Coach came in here.
That's right. Right.
Just get off his seat
right.
and then get in here.
Right. Manish, Rich Samini, they're busy.
Yes.
We understand they're going to be on the phone. Right. They're on the beat.
Right.
Ray Lucas should be on the beat here.
And here.
I totally agree.
Come on home, Ray.
All right. Let's see how the Jets work out. Of course, you can see Willie and I along with Ray and Coach Mike Westhoff on the Jets pregame live and postgame live coming up on Sundays. We have you all covered for game day and Jets Patriots on Sunday. For Willie Colon, I'm Jonas Schwartz. We'll see you next week on the podcast.
Jet up.